For the devil does not want you to know the truth, so that you will live your life carelessly, so that the end of your life, all you have will be regrets. And that is not God's plan for your life. You know what's God's plan for your life? Victory. I want to share with you a couple of principles on the keys to victorious living, all right? It's found in the book of Joshua. Three principles from chapter one. Very simple. In the book of Joshua, first part of chapter one, number one, you must understand the importance of believing in God's purpose. There's no victory if you don't align with God's purpose for your life. Number two, God's promises. It's one thing to know. It's another thing to apply, to believe in God's promises. And number three, you must understand God's precepts. The word precepts simply means the word of God, the rules, the instructions. So three simple principles on experiencing the victorious Christian life. What's number one? God's purpose. Joshua chapter one, let's read together now. It came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the highest compliment you can give anybody is to call that person the servant of the Lord. Moses was given the highest compliment. It came about after the death of Moses. Who is Moses? The servant of the Lord. May I ask you, how do you define yourself? My prayer is God will say, you are my servant. My prayer is when God looks at me, God will say, Peter is my servant. Faithful servant. Moses was a faithful servant. But the truth is this, sooner or later you will die. Moses is dead. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. Right now, in chapter 1, you will see Joshua is called the servant of Moses. Later on, as you finish the book of Joshua, you will see Joshua is then called the servant of the Lord. You begin to serve God by learning to serve others. If you don't want to be a servant, you cannot be a leader. Joshua was a faithful servant. Read the next verse. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise. Now, that's his mission order now. Cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Notice amazing promise. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses. Read the next verse. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. If you read the Old Testament, especially Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you will see the promise of God to the nation of Israel is about a piece of property. It's called the Promised Land. Today, Israel is occupying a partial portion, only a partial portion of the Promised Land. Because what God promised them is much bigger. In the time of Solomon, they almost accomplished it. But that's another topic. Read the next verse. I love this amazing promise. Let's read this together. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor will I forsake you. Do you like that promise from God? Look at God's instruction to Joshua. Continue reading. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Everybody, be strong and courageous. Do you know this term, be strong and courageous, is very appropriate for us as you face 2023? Why is this so important? This is, if you look at the grammar of Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, you have three times the same words repeated, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And I'm going to tell you today now, as you face 2023, can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, be strong and courageous. Tell your neighbor, be strong and courageous. I know there's a lot of uncertainties, but uncertainties does not mean you need to be scared. The future may be uncertain, but I know who holds the future. Remember that song? I don't know about the future, but I know who holds the future. Who controls the future? Louder. God. Is God on your side? Louder. My goodness. God is on our side. So, should you be strong and courageous? Now, what will you be facing this year that may scare you? Okay, sickness. What else? Finance. What else? Yung mga single, maybe love life. Those of you who are married, maybe your in-laws. I don't know. I don't know what you are afraid of, okay? But one thing I know. The Bible is telling you, do not be afraid. Are you afraid of something? But reality is, all of us are afraid of something. Yes or no? You are fearful. Well, I want you to turn that over to the Lord. That's why it says, be strong, be courageous. You shall give these people possession of the land. You see, God's purpose for Joshua's life. Joshua, for you to be victorious, I want you first to know what is your job description. What is my purpose for your life? Joshua, my purpose for your life is not just to bless you. I want you to be the leader. I want you to bring these people to the promised land. What is God's mission for Moses? I want you to bring them out of Egypt. So Moses accomplished his job, brought the people out of Egypt. Joshua, your job is to bring them into the promised land. Now, God has a mission for each one of you. It is important that you know what is God's purpose for your life. What is very sad if you don't even bother to ask God what is His purpose for your life. And you keep on doing what you want to do. That to me is pathetic. May I ask you right now, take some time. What is God's purpose for your life? Think about it. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, how do you see your life? Based on what God wants you to do. What is God's purpose for you? You know, God's purpose is really not just to bless you. God wants you to reach your full potential for His glory, right? But God tells us where to bless others. How are we to bless others? All of us, you need to understand God's mission for your life and my life. For me, it's found in Matthew chapter 28. That's God's purpose for my life. Look at Matthew chapter 28, okay? Let's read this together. Everybody. Everybody. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. My mission is to make disciples of all the nations. In other words, God wants you to bless others. How can you bless others? By introducing Christ to them and making them become followers of Jesus. That's the word for make disciples, to make disciples. Let me show you in concrete example, fulfilling God's mission for your life. I know of a businessman, during the pandemic, he did not lay off any of his staff. The company kept on paying the people because he knew his mission in life. His mission in life is not just to make money. His mission in life is to help people. So what he did, he bought TV and brought TV to the construction site and made sure people will listen to the CCF video, okay, to evangelize people. Because his mission in life, remember, is not just to make money. It's to evangelize. You see, your purpose in life is to use whatever platform God has given you to connect people to Jesus, to disciple them so that they will also be blessed. Don't keep the blessing to yourself. You must share Christ wherever you are. Are you a teacher? Praise God. We have so many teachers. You know what our teachers will do? They share Christ with their students. They share Christ with the parents. So whatever you do, are you a housewife? Praise God, be the best housewife. Train your children. But no matter what you do, remember our mission in life, which is to go make disciples. That's why you got to be part of a small group. What is the next principle I'd like you to learn? The next principle is, reality is, you must know God's promises. What do we mean by God's promises? Well, God has given us many, many promises. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Review. Everybody, Do you know God's promises? Example. Do you like this promise? Together. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Is this promise given to Joshua only? I encourage you to look at your Bible and trace that promise. It was given to from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to Moses, and to you. Where is that found? Remember Matthew 28? Look at Matthew 28. Look at that last part of the promise in Matthew 28. Everybody, okay? Our mission. Teach them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, everybody read, I am with you always. That's a promise from God. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 is a New Testament promise to remind us. Everybody read this together. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Don't worry about money. Being content with what you have, he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Is that a real promise from God? I will never leave you or forsake you. Yes or no? People can fail you, but God will never fail you. You know, God has never failed me. I failed God many times, but God says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Will you take this to heart? You must embrace God's promises. To live a life of victory, you need to know purpose, and you need to know promises. We live based on God's promises. Look at this promise. Everybody read. We confidently say, everybody read, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. So guys, are you worried about something? Yes or no? Yes or no? Be honest. All right. What will overcome fear? To overcome fear, you need God's promises. And God promised his presence. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do you know in God's presence, you can have peace? In God's presence, you don't have to be afraid of anything. It doesn't matter how big the problem is, but remind yourself. So I suggest why prayer is so important. Because prayer is a reminder that God is present. So first thing you do in the morning, spend time with him. So that whatever happens to you throughout the day, you can be victorious because God is with you. One of the saddest chapters in the Bible is Numbers chapter 13, 14. It has to do with Joshua and his people. They're about to enter the promised land, okay? So God, do you remember that story in Joshua chapter 13, 14? God sent 12 spies. Because God promised Moses and the people, this is the land I'm going to give you. For sure, you will possess it. All right? Now, why did they send spies? Maybe to satisfy their strategy, how to do it. So they sent 12 spies. After reviewing the land, you have the 12 spies coming back to give a report. Do you recall? This is the minority report. Caleb quieted the people before Moses. We should, by all means, go and possess the land. This is Caleb and Joshua, both of them. We will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go against the people. They're too strong. They saw exactly the same thing, but two different conclusions. One, let's go. Majority, no. What's the difference? Both have God's promises. Both groups heard the promises of God. But one group says, go. Another group says, no. What's the difference? Friends, you and I, in this room today, you have two kinds of Christians. Those who understand the promises of God and believe and claim it. And those who know in the head but not in the heart. The saddest chapters. You know why the saddest chapters? Let's continue reading. This is the bad report. The majority gave this report: the land which we have gone is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw are men of great size. Then we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. These are a race that are giants. That's where Goliath came from and all of these people. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You see, when they saw the problem, they see problems, they see themselves, but they don't see God. That's the problem with many Christians today. You know why you're defeated? You focus on the problems. You focus on circumstances. You fail to put God into the picture. But Joshua saw God. And when people do not trust in God's promises, it's also because you don't trust in God's purposes. What were they complaining about? They were saying, God, why are you bringing us into the land? We don't like your purpose. That's why to be successful, to be victorious, you must embrace God's purpose. You must embrace God's promises. What did they do with God's purpose? Look at their questioning God's purpose. The sons of Israel grumbled. They complained. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? Why are you bringing us to the promised land? You see, they doubted the purpose of God for their lives. If you doubt God's purpose for your life, my friend, why will you obey God? You see, there are many people today, they don't believe in God's goodness. They don't believe that by following God, I'm going to be blessed, because they don't trust in God's purpose for their marriage, for their lives. They are like these people, always grumbling, always questioning. Have you ever questioned God why? You see, every time you ask God why, you be careful. Because asking Him why, you may be questioning His goodness, you may be questioning His plan. And the result is disaster. Consequences to unbelief. What's the consequence? They were not able to enter the promised land. All of that generation, God says, because you don't believe me, all right, you will not enter the promised land. Only two will enter the promised land. Let us look at Caleb and Joshua. Let's read this together, okay? If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Everybody read, only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land. They will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Only two said the following, Joshua and Caleb. And God rewarded them. And do you know why they did not enter the promised land? They knew the promises of God. But what was the problem? The book of Hebrews explained to us, chapter 3, verse 18. Everybody please read. Whom did God swear that they should not enter the land of Canaan, the land of rest, but to those who were disobedient? Why were they disobedient? So we see they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Belief and obedience go together. To believe and not to obey is not yet to believe. So how do you know you believe God or not believe God? The test of obedience. You cannot say, I believe and I don't obey. You can do that. To believe is to obey. And lastly, God's precepts. How can you live a victorious life? Look at the Bible. What do we mean by God's precepts? All right? The word precepts is a synonym of God's word. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So, precepts, commandments, synonyms, instructions, guidance, statutes, the laws, precepts. Now, let's look at God's precepts in Joshua chapter 1, 8 to 9. Everybody read together. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. This is the missing part. Meditate on the word of God day and night. So that, everybody read, so that, all right, when you read English word, so that means what? Purpose, close. Why is the word so that written there? So that, why should you meditate? so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Why should you be careful to do everything that is written in the Bible so that you will make your way prosperous, so that you will have success? You see the connection? The key to victory is to understand not only God's promises, but the Word of God. God's Word. Meditate day and night. Notice, not just read, meditate. The word meditate means you get a portion of the Bible, of God's truth, you think about it, you focus on it, and then you ask questions. Why is the word written here? What is the meaning of this? What's the application of this? So you focus. It's called focus thinking. Meditate. Example of meditation, worry. When you worry, it's because you focus on the wrong thing. So all of you know how to meditate. People who are warriors, they are expert in meditation. You know what they meditate? They meditate about what will happen, which will never happen. 90% of your worries don't happen, okay? But you worry. Some people, they worry, they don't worry. They just love to meditate on worry. My friend, you meditate on the Word of God, okay? Now, what will happen to you? Repeat. Have I not commanded you, be strong, courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wow, so if I were you, I'm going to meditate. Wow, God, you command me, I will do it. You tell me not to be afraid, I will not be afraid. Why should I not be afraid? Because you promise your God is with you wherever you go. How many of you have heard of B-I-B-L-E? What is B-I-B-L-E? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions. Friends, do you believe the Bible is God's manual for your life? Let me tell you my own experience this year. For the last 2 years, there has been this lockdown and many rules. And you and I know, our family, we love to exercise. So by the grace of God, I was able to build a pool. And we use the latest technology in our swimming pool. It's called salt chlorinator. It does not use chlorine. It uses salt. But it will convert the salt into enough chlorine to clean the water. So it's called salt chlorinator. My only problem is this. When the pool was finished this year, last year, there was no manual. I was looking for the manual. But the supplier did not supply the manual. So what did my wife and I do? We call this Philippine style. Trial and error. So it was miserable. I was spending so much money with actual chlorine, which I'm not supposed to use. I was using salt left and right because I don't have the manual. But by the grace of God, your pastor finally wise up. Stop trial and error. Look for a manual. I couldn't find the manual. Go to the internet. I don't even know what model of this one. So I'm at a loss. Praise God, somebody came and showed us. Boom! In less than 5 minutes, the whole thing was working properly. You know why? Because for every product, there is a manual. Joshua understood the principle of do not depart from my word left or right. The key to victory is following God's command, God's instruction. Let me close by showing you what Joshua encountered. This is amazing. The first mention of Joshua is Exodus chapter 17. So that you will know what Joshua understood when God told him, don't turn to the left, to the right. This was the first word, the word Joshua was used in the Bible. You can see Joshua's encounter with victory. The Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. Amalek, the descendants of Esau, these are wicked people, unprovoked, they attacked the Israelites. So Moses said to Joshua, the first time you see the word Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself to the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Do you understand the battle plan? Joshua, select your army. For the first time you see the word Joshua, Joshua is now like a captain of the army. He's a captain. Read the next verse. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur, the three of them, went up to the top of the hill. It came about when Moses' hand, when he held his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. Do you see what God is trying to teach Joshua and all of us today? There's a close connection between prayer and victory. Look at the next verse. Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron, Hur, supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other. His hands were steady until the sun set. Just picture in your mind what Moses was doing. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now let me ask you, how was victory accomplished? You need both. You need to fight physically. You need to pray. But which one determines victory? Is it the fighting or the praying? Prayer. You see, friends, you don't see the spiritual world. The spiritual world is real. And when the Bible says you follow God's precepts, God tells us we got to pray. Do you know why you and I don't pray? Because we don't really believe in the power of God to help us solve our problems. When God allows us to have problems, it is always to remind us we need to come before Him. Do you know that of all the discipline, prayer is the most important discipline because it ushers you into the presence of God? Prayer is telling you, telling yourself, I need you, Lord. Prayer is telling God, I am not adequate on my own. And many people stop praying when they don't have problems anymore. But in my experience, I need prayer. Even more so, the older I walk with the Lord, the longer I have been with Jesus, the more I realize I need prayer. I need to seek God's presence daily. Because at the end of the day, it's really prayer. Prayer is entering into God's presence. But most of the time, we don't pray. You know why? We are self-sufficient. We don't believe. Look at the testimony of our brother. Until he was broken, until he surrendered all, nothing will happen in his life. And I'm going to tell you, nothing will happen to your life until you totally surrender. And you say, Lord, here I am. That's why I'm inviting all of you tomorrow night, make this a habit. Make prayer your habit, your dependence on the Lord. You know, prayer is really acknowledging God's amazing presence. So people ask me, what's the secret of victory? Listen, as we close, pray as though everything is dependent on God. But work, do your part as though everything is dependent upon you. And that's what Joshua did. He fought. But then Moses prayed. You need to do both. God's part, let God do his part, you do your part. No wonder the early church believed in prayer. The early church fasted and prayed. Do you know that? Let me just close with this amazing verse to encourage you, all right? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, God tells us, first of all, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. We must pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in godliness and dignity. Therefore, I want men in every place to pray lifting up holy hands. You see, when you lift up your hands, it's a symbol of surrender. You pray. It doesn't matter what your position. But God wants you to know there's a connection between how we live in the Philippines and how we pray for our leaders. There's a connection between your marital life and how you pray. There's a connection between your financial life and how you pray. Everything's connected. Amen? So do you want to be victorious? Be strong and courageous. How can you be strong and courageous? Align with God's purpose, claim God's promises, and what? Follow, obey God's precepts. No shortcut. And I guarantee you, God says, be strong and courageous, and you will have success. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you have given us your word. As our heads are bowed down, I'm now praying for anybody here that you have spoken to. Perhaps they have not surrendered their lives. Perhaps they have not understood what it means to trust you. Perhaps they don't really believe in you. They don't trust you. They know in the head, but not in their hearts. So I pray you speak to everybody here privately, that you give us a heart to have faith in you, to believe in your promises, and to obey your commands. To believe and to obey. If you are not yet sure that you have relationship with Jesus, or you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, and you want to surrender your life to Jesus today, you want to believe and to obey, but first by coming to Jesus, will you raise your hands? And I'll pray for you. Praise God. Higher, higher. I want those hands raised up. Higher. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus and you want me to pray for you, higher, higher. All right? You know, there's always something about when you humble yourselves and you ask for prayer. So I want to pray for these people, for you, who may have known about this in your head, but you have never embraced the truth in your heart. You are like the Israelites. You know in your head, but you have not accepted it in your heart. You don't really believe. You have religion, but you don't have relationship. You have no faith. So ask God. I will ask God now to give you the faith to trust Him. Lord Jesus, I now pray for these sincere believers who are watching us, perhaps in the YouTube, perhaps in the internet, and perhaps they are here right now. You know their hearts. I pray that you make yourself real by speaking to them right now as they pray this prayer to you. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I surrender my all to you. Lord, I will stop trusting and following my own ways. I will start following your ways. No longer my ways, but your ways. Help me. Give me that heart of humility to trust you and to obey you. Forgive me when I think I know better than you. Forgive me when I follow the wisdom of the world by not following your word. Forgive me when I am stubborn. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray for all those who have raised their hands. Let them experience your presence. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you.